What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. This is your host, J-Bo. This episode is dedicated to censorship in America. Me and my buddy Dave just had a long-ass conversation about what's going on, what's going down, why we can't stand the state of things. We hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
I mean, I'm going to have a little bit of a different frame on it than banning conservatives and looking at it from that conservative perspective. You know, I'm looking at more as like a kind of, there's a narrative and there's like a, you know, corporatist statist point of view, which is represented by the narrative. And then everything that goes against that is sort of banned. And then you have, and that's more represented by the populist kind of side of things, because you have liberals being banned, people, you know, so-called liberals, and people in the middle who are, you know, like Kanye West, they take away what he says, even though, just because he's saying things that a black guy's not supposed to be saying, you know, not necessarily he's conservative, he's just not going along with the narrative, you know what I mean?
Right, right. But he happens to also agree with very conservative people, you know, which is the reason they're banning him. So one might argue that he has conservative leanings and that's why they're banning him, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I see it more as he's not saying what he's supposed to be saying. He's saying, think freely for yourself, as opposed to just the
right.
The political narrative.
Okay.
Whatever he's supposed to be saying.
I feel like Jordan Peterson is a little bit that way too, and he's basically just like, do the best you can, think for yourself, and people are like, "Fuck you, you right winger."
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. If you're outside the mainstream narrative, you're just called a right winger. You're called a you're labeled as a conservative or as a hate speecher, and it's almost after the fact, because you have people like Sargon of Akkad, who was taken off Patreon, and he has conservative views and he has liberal views. You know, he's a big kind of state health care guy and all these typically liberal things. He's just, you know, your average British dude, and he's just saying things that I guess aren't in the news, or he's saying he has a different take on things than he's supposed to. He's not.
Sargon of Akkad, he's a British guy.
Yeah.
I've heard that name, but I got to check him out. Speaking of Brits, man, Tommy Robinson, who, when I first heard of, he was deemed as incredibly right wing, and he may well be, but what I've seen of him, I mean, they threw his ass in jail over literally trying to expose, there was like a Muslim grooming gang, and he had his phone and he was video recording it, and they arrested him and threw him in jail for I think 6 months, and put him at a very high risk. I mean, the dude's been beat up in prison. Britain's pretty scary.
Yeah, I think he had like a barber shop or some sort of salon or something, and he owned that, and he kept seeing all these young girls come in and out of a place across the street, and he exposed it for what it was, basically a prostitution ring for young girls. And in Britain, I mean, the narrative is, and this is what I mean by the political narrative, and going against it, you know, that's not a conservative thing that he did. That's just being a decent human being. But he exposed...
Well, one might argue that going against Muslim grooming gangs, it certainly isn't a hardcore liberal thing to do, you know. It is a great... It's a good person
thing to do. It's non-political. I don't think it's a political thing. It's just...
Right.
It's the law, you know. It's maintaining a decency in your community where you don't have prostitution rings with, you know, I mean, that's, I don't see that as a political thing. It's more,
I guess,
because
the left is more apt to possibly give them a cultural pass.
Correct.
Than he would be. Yeah. Right.
However, the broader narrative is more just immigration.
Right.
And that's bipartisan. That's it's maybe not conservative versus liberal, but it's definitely both Republicans and Democrats are basically open borders. Not all Republicans. You'll find more conservative more conservative immigration folks on the conservative on the Republican side.
Right.
But the broader international hate narratives are bring in immigrants. We want more. We want cheaper labor. We want
to put them on government assistance, and so they vote for us. I mean,
that's the Democrat side of it. I think the Republican side is cheap labor, and then I think there's even a bigger issue of just how all the governments are underfunded, and they have creditors, you know, all the big banks and these, they owe a lot of money to each other and to the banking conglomerate. And they have to have economic growth. They have to have GDP at a certain level to maintain their ability to service their debt. So one way to increase economic growth is to have more people. And so, you know, to hell with what the social consequences are, they don't care all that much. There's just too much in it for them politically and for, you know, the upper echelons of government where they just need bigger numbers.
That's very interesting. I hadn't really thought about that particular point. That they could just need bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would like to get into a little bit, Dave, and we've already started the podcast. I don't know if you knew that. But anyway, everybody, welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. I got Dave on the line. This is week number, I don't know, 20? No, yeah, 20 maybe, 18, 19, 20 of weekly podcasts. We're going to do 52. And then I might just blow the whole thing up. I might just end the Shit Show. Who knows? I mean, unless... So I seem to be getting a little bit of momentum. So if that continues, we'll see. But I want to thank you, Dave, for coming on the Shit Show again.
Hey, my pleasure.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about, let's call it technological gerrymandering. And I think it's a massive issue. I think people aren't quite as aware of it, I think, as they should be. I think people like Marco Rubio, when he faces down people like Alex Jones and act like he doesn't know who the hell Alex Jones is, when Alex Jones is quite literally the tip of the spear in the InfoWar department, you know, in certain things he says. But what I'm talking about really is him being banned, him being the first, the test pilot of being banned completely off many, many platforms. I think when other conservatives don't recognize that for what it is, they are next. What they don't realize is they will not stay in power if this censorship persists. Let me throw a few dates at you. I mean, Alex Jones was credited for helping Trump win his election. I think that's been a major sore point with the media at large in America. Alex Jones was banned. His Twitter suspension was September 6th, 2018. Then a month later, Apple, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify banned him on August 5th and 6th. As we know, the midterms were less than 2 months after that. I think they're completely connected. I think suppressing powerful voices on the so-called right absolutely rig elections Google. You understand?
So, yeah, I do. And this gets to an issue of fake news. And fake news is a tricky one because you're allowed to say shit that's wrong. You know, I can go say whatever I want and be wrong, and that's not a crime.
No.
However, it's being nearly criminalized. And I'm not saying everything Alex Jones says is wrong. Some of it is, some of it isn't. But to say that he's...
By the way, he's a conspiracy theorist. That's what they've given him as a title. You know what I mean?
Right, and that's not illegal.
So really, he can say whatever the fuck he wants. And as Milo Yiannopoulos put it, sunlight is the best disinfectant. If he's full of shit, let him speak. You know,
he's been in the public. He's had a show for, I don't know, 20 years, and there's been plenty of sunlight. And outside of the Sandy Hook thing, there's nothing that he's said that's been really, and I say Sandy Hook because he was just recently lost a court decision over it.
Well, that was what everybody brings up, right? And certainly if Sandy Hook happened, he would give the appearance of being not sensitive to these children and families, obviously. I think the greater deal is that's what they used to discredit him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it is possible. Hey, it possibly does discredit him, but the broader thing is he's like a one man globalist wrecking crew and Trump supporter, and he has hardcore fucking supporters, you know. And I think that's why they did it under the guise of this Sandy Hook deal, you know.
Well, I'll keep going back to this, but the narrative, and so the narrative before Alex Jones, is that there's no such thing as globalism, or it's a conspiracy theory. And halfway through the 2016 election, there was articles in The Economist or something, or the Financial Times, saying why globalism is good, you know. So and then that debate started, like, what is globalism, a good thing or is globalism a bad thing, when previously it wasn't even really an issue. It was never, you know, of course free trade is good. Of course international agreements are good. These things are always sort of, unless you're, Ron Paul or that little dude who ran for president, Ross Perot, globalism was just straight up a good thing. So I think... You know, what he did and Trump carried forward was bring up that debate of whether globalism is a good thing or not. And in 2016, globalism lost. And therefore, you know, someone had to pay for that. Right. Yeah.
And Alex Jones paid. And, you know, you get PayPal demonetizing him. I mean, I don't know. I hate to bring up this dude, but like, he's like patient zero. You know, they're literally trying to make him bankrupt because he was effective, you know, in getting the person they wanted elected. I mean, same with Roger Stone. They're trying to bankrupt him. I remember the Proud Boys kicked the shit out of Antifa one day, and within a week, you know, you hear Gavin McInnes is being banned. It's just as soon as the tide started to turn, I mean, there's just so much leverage with media. And headline culture, people just reading headlines, not knowing the context and coming away with a certain feeling that orange man bad, you know, is hate speech subjective or is it a real thing? I mean, obviously there is real.
Well, okay. So there's probably no such thing as hate speech. I mean, unless you say I hate you, that's hate speech. But okay. So take it to where, in my opinion, people should get in trouble for what they say. And the example that I came up with is there's some guy or gal who has her Facebook page. And on the Facebook page, it says, I work for IBM. And then she drops a bunch of posts and says she hates Jesse Boggs. And she uses the N-word. And she says horrible things that the company then finds out about. And they say, we don't like this person. We don't want our company to be represented like that. So they should be able to fire her for that because she's representing their company poorly. So that's a thing that I think is okay. But then you get, okay, so she put that stuff on her Facebook page. Is it Facebook's place to censor that? And that's, I guess, the real question. What are these platforms, or are they filters?
Or are they dead?
And I think legally they have sort of some anti-defamation or antitrust sort of protection from so like a newspaper. Well, I don't know if newspaper, but just like a telephone, like we're talking now, you know, yeah. AT&T can't get in trouble for what I say, right? Because they're a platform. They're carrying this message. They're not producing it. So Facebook and Twitter are the same. They're just carrying these messages. Now, I don't think AT&T ever censored anybody's phone call, but that's what Facebook and Twitter are doing. They're saying you can't use a telephone anymore. And so that's an issue. And I don't know the answer to it. So I guess what people are proposing is, well, they should be sort of like turned into a public utility where they have certain, you know, agreed upon federal regulations and things like that, whereby they couldn't do that. They couldn't censor people. And there's problems with that too, whereby you sort of almost give monopoly license to any company that you turn into a utility. And so that codifies Facebook and Twitter into sort of almost a government entity, which they kind of act like now anyway. But rather than have the free market come along and if they're not working, which they're not anymore, then they would be kind of destroyed. So, you know, you may see in a few years Facebook and Twitter start to lobby for being turned into a utility kind of thing. But that's just speculation.
Right. It's very interesting. And I was thinking about it. And I know last time me and you talked, of course, we touched on a few of these issues. But I had posed the question of something akin to government intellectual diversity implementation. Basically, you know, there are racial diversity quotas in many companies. What would be wrong, just let's float this idea for a second, with actually, okay, Facebook, we're the government. We're going to take over. You are not fair. You are totally biased. What we're going to do is we're going to give you a series of a battery of tests, every single person that works for you. We're going to find out their political affiliation, and we're going to have 25% this, 25% that, 25% this, and we're going to make these people all equally powerful. And you guys fight it out, and that's the only way that we can have a fair and just social media experience. What do you think of that, Dave?
I don't like it.
right?
I just wouldn't want the government coming into any corporation and deciding who works there. I mean,
isn't that happening already with racial quotas?
Not so specifically.
or maybe that's not the government, but there are quotas, right? But there are intellectual quotas. And isn't that actually the more important thing? I mean, you can have a Mexican guy, a black guy, and a white guy, all that are conservative, and they share the same point of view. But intellectual quotas, these are actual different views. That would be an interesting – because basically it's a very small amount of people are responsible for –
But you're powerful. Yeah. But then you have
the government. Towards the left. You know, it seems to be an amazing amount of censorship and bias towards conservatives, towards the right. How are we going to cure that? I know. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that actually.
Well, it's a very socialist idea you have there, where the government goes in and has the ability to essentially, you know, say you can't hire the best people, and you know, to an extent, that is happening. But I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, if the government wanted to start an agency and do it, fine. but to go into a private corporation and put together, yeah, some kind of
a battery of tests.
I mean, yeah, give it a try. I mean, everything should be tested, right? Maybe not on the scale of Facebook, but right. You know, if there's some startup or something. Give it a try, test it, you know. But nothing to that extent is going to happen.
Right, it's not. I know it's silly. It's fucking crazy, like socialist, like you said, or whatever. But
I don't think it would fix the problem either. I don't. Again, you're looking at it from this conservative versus liberal perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And anytime you get you know, say there's 100 people working at Facebook, and they're going to be sort of
a hierarchy.
Yeah, they're going to be sort of kind of computer specialists, and they're not necessarily going to be, I don't know, like what, I forget the term, but it's like thinkers above society, where these computer programmers, and I'm not trying to generalize about computer programmers, but they tend to be focused on computer programming rather than broader social goals. They may be more likely to have consistent views with the kind of
one side or the other,
you know, the narrative, or they wouldn't be thinking outside the narrative. It wouldn't be thinking outside the sort of statist, corporatist narrative.
Well, I don't know if the computer programmers would have anything to do with what I'm talking about. I'm really talking about the people who make the decisions, who go over what the algorithms have decided to ban for whatever reason. You know, that think tank, you know, maybe they have the intellectual diversity training.
Yeah, I guess. I still think they would be more, you know, and you still have the power structure in the company. And if this is the power structure in the company, they would still be more leaning towards maintaining power within a corporation rather than power to the individual, which is what we're going for here, I think.
Right.
So anytime you're in a hierarchy of a corporation like that, you're not going to have the public interest in mind necessarily. So whoever you put there is, you know, you may have a liberal who has a social justice mindset and a conservative who just has a financial motive. And they may come to the same conclusion that we can't allow speech of this kind, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. Give it a try. Test it out.
I will, Dave.
Do
at some point. I don't know how. Okay, so this is our censorship. A few weeks ago, we were fucking outraged. I was talking about starting massive protests in the streets.
Me too.
Never got around to it. It's funny. I'm usually really fired up. And this evening I had a sense of calm coming over me, and I was like, I got to drink some coffee. I want to get fired up for this shit. But, you know, possibly the calm actually allows me to actually discuss it and not be so emotional and get it out, you know? I think it's a huge deal. It really pisses me off. Do you see the actual banning of conservatives in America and the extreme media bias? Do you see that as ultimately causing a Streisand effect, meaning more people, more young people, more people who are interested in details flocking to these? And you know, you ban something, it's the greatest way to have a bunch of people flock to it. Or do you think in the end it actually snuffs it out? And we're actually going to see where a conservative will not get elected ever again at some point, you know, to be extreme about it. I mean, online is fictional, you know, it's not real, but a lot of people look at it as a reality.
I have a pessimistic view on this, where I think we're likely headed towards a more powerful government. You know, I mean, the communist Russia, they all believed the government. They had no other information sources. In South Korea, North Korea, they all believed the government. In Nazi Germany, they had no choice but to believe the government. And it's all propaganda.
Wow, that is scary.
So what we hear now is the narrative is a line of propaganda. And so that's why anybody who speaks outside of it, pro or, you know, anti-war liberals, anti-war conservatives, it doesn't matter. They both got to go. So, I don't know. I think we're trending towards a propaganda state, and we're pretty much in one right now.
I read certain headlines. I see the way people talk and think about our president. I really do. And I think of the movie They Live, you know? I wonder, why are we functioning in two completely separate realities here? Like, why are you convinced of one thing and I am convinced of another? Who is right? Is it all confirmation bias? It's very interesting. I mean, I have friends and we have the exact opposite viewpoint, but we live in the exact same world. It's fucking crazy, dude.
It is crazy, because I think everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants peace and prosperity at the end of the day. And it changes, you know. Think about it. I assume you were a fan of Bill Clinton back in the day when
I voted for Bill Clinton. Yeah.
So I heard, and he was a Democrat. Yep. And right now you're a Republican, but
I'm like a Trumplican.
Trumplican, yeah, sure. That's a good distinction. But anyway, I heard Bill Clinton say on TV the other day from 20 years ago. Would have him labeled a right wing.
That job.
Yeah, and what he said is illegal immigrants cost more in terms of public services than they bring in terms of tax revenues. So it's a net cost to society, and that's kind of to Tucker Carlson's view.
Is that Barack Obama's view too?
Essentially, it was. Yeah, it was everybody's view. I wouldn't say everybody. I mean, it was kind of like, I think Barack Obama was talking out of both sides of his mouth, where he was generally letting immigration happen, or he wasn't fighting against it at all, but he was saying he was, you know. But it was such – and so essentially the entire population, or say 80% of the population 10, 20 years ago, was entirely against illegal immigration because it's freaking illegal and it's a cost to society.
And gay marriage, by the way. President Trump is the first president to enter office as a pro-gay marriage president. Did you know that?
Now that you mention it, yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, just the shifting of the narrative where some now, you know, now what? Like, I don't know, 80% of the people are pro-gay marriage when 10 years ago it was probably 30 or 40. And that happened, that seemed to happen in like 2 years.
People are sheep, man. They're sheep. Jesus.
I mean, yeah. It almost seemed more than that the media narrative controlled it. And it's like, okay, well, now everybody's pro-gay marriage. And then that,
yeah, right.
Yeah, that changed everybody's opinion in a way because everybody else is. And so I should be too. I never thought of it before. I never really cared. But now I do, I guess.
You said something earlier that was it was very interesting. I thought the same thing, that we're all, regardless of the our blueprints are like on top of each other, you know, and they're different blueprints and we see totally different realities sometimes, but we're after the same thing. You know, a very simple example of that is like gun control, right? Nobody wants to see 14 kids in some school get blasted, right? The right wingers say that more guns are going to stop these bad guys, you know? The left goes, well, no, just rid of all guns. We want to stop these guys. You know, it's both the exact same thing. It's just different ways to go about it. You know, I think you hit it on the head.
Yeah. And then you look at, I don't know. There's a lot of fear. Well, okay. The Second Amendment in the Constitution. You kind of, you can't change the Constitution without an amendment. So I don't know that. I don't know. That's another one where the media narrative has really led the charge in terms of trying to change public opinion. And maybe in 10 years, we're sitting here saying, boy, remember when half the country was pro Second Amendment. And, now it's only 10% of the people are pro Second Amendment.
But Dave, how powerful is that? Because I hear you, and you're spot on. The media does control it. But go ahead and Google Donald Trump. People are 15 times more likely, from the stats I've read, to click on negative articles. Google that. See the brainwashing, the mind control that most people – I look at it as mind control and brain. I really do, because it's completely biased. It's so powerful, and I you just hit it. But that's what, to me, is very scary and infuriating. I don't care what people think. I really don't care what their views are. I just want to see information and what our president or what the last president – I want it not in glowing terms and not in the toilet. I want it presented objectively, you know?
Yeah. And they,
I don't care what anybody
– objective. That's the crazy part of it. You know, they're still trying to pretend they're news outlets. But,
right. They're propaganda arms. Propaganda arms. You know, Fox News is no different. You know, for
yeah.
Trump, however, there's only one Fox News. You know, of course, conservative AM radio is kicking ass in the right wing department, you know. So they both have their sides, you know.
Yeah, but I totally agree. It's, you know, there was a meeting today and this happened. Period. This is the policy that was discussed. And this is the change to the policy. Period. You know, like, I'm sick of it. So I don't watch the news all that much. Well, I shouldn't say that. I watch little clips. But I don't watch the news. You know, last time I watched 6 o'clock news was, I don't know, when I was a kid.
I just typed in Trump to DuckDuckGo. And they don't, like, I guess they don't sell your info or something. First three things that come up, Trump, I never worked for Russia. Second one is Trump cares about only one audience. Third is Trump the toddler. You know, I don't know. It doesn't seem objective to me.
No. And that second one, let's go over that. Trump cares only about one audience. So – apparently, you know, that's obviously posed in a bad light, meant to make people think that Trump is very sort of selfish and has a cult constituency.
And the byline under it, Dave, goes, he's a master of reading a room, and he knows exactly how to use cultural context as a provocation. Quite dark.
Oh, yeah, he's a fearmonger. That's one, you know. I forget what I was going to say. But I guess, yeah, you're supposed to speak to a group of people, the people who voted for you, you know. They won. So it makes a lot of sense to try to do what you ran on. Every other president gets slammed for not doing what they ran on. And Trump's, I guess he's trying to do what he ran on. He gets a lot of flack from, like, Ann Coulter.
Yeah, I felt like Ann Coulter is personally responsible for this entire government shutdown.
You know, that's hard to argue with.
Remember, she said she would never vote for him. I'm sorry, what's that?
I heard her before the shutdown. She's pretty harsh on him, and I mean, I think that'd be a tough case to make. But she might, you know, he might have heard her, and he said, "Oh, you know, she's right." you know, you need to hear advice from people. And you need to hear, because he's not getting that from anybody in the House or Senate. You know, hey, shut down the government so you get the wall. So it's good that he listens to voices outside of his bubble.
Yeah, right.
Because he did run on the wall. You know, it's, no, I don't know, it's kind of a goofy idea. But
in fact, it's $5 billion from what I've heard as far as things go, and the government is not that much money. I don't know. What kind of fucking wall can you get for $5 billion anyway? Can you get a wall across the entirety of America? I doubt it.
I think that's only like a quarter of the cost or 20% of the cost. Oh. So it's just it's kind of just get started, get a contractor. I mean, they're going to have to do a shit ton of environmental work, I would think. That thing's going to take 40 years. It'll probably never happen, honestly. Like the environmental work they would have to do, and you know, Trump, if he declares a national emergency, that is one way to get around sort of the national Environmental Policy Act, whereby they would have to do site surveys for every inch to find out what critters were living there and what plants and stuff. And what cultural artifacts. So it would take forever. So he would probably have to declare a national emergency to do it, period. Right? So it's, in my opinion, it's never going to happen. That doesn't mean he shouldn't fight for it. Because I think it was like, you know, there were several people like on... what, Periscope and a couple folks I follow on Twitter, like younger Trumpian conservatives, are just like, you can declare a national emergency, you should, it's legal, blah, blah, blah. And so that made a lot of sense to me. Then I heard Newt Gingrich say sort of, hey, you're going to have to fight this new Congress. You know, if you don't, they're going to dominate you. So he's choosing now to do it sooner than later. And this is his issue. So I think that's a better thought, where you can't let this Democratic Congress take over, because they're fucking crazy.
They've moved far to the left. I will say Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Red Cortez.
I will tell you this, she is a beautiful woman. Like, I saw her in that dancing video. I just want to say, first of all, she's gorgeous, right? Like, I admire that about her. Her ideas don't seem tenable. Is that the right word, tenable? Is that another way to say possible or not?
I'd say practical.
they're not practical. Okay. Pelosi.
First of all, you're a misogynist for calling her a beautiful woman, but that's besides the point. But go ahead.
Oh my God! Did you see the video? Shit.
That's a good video. Yeah, she's a good dancer.
Yeah, I like her in that way, man. But whatever. I think the left has moved far radical. Now they are literally advocating for pretty much open borders. And what other views, in your opinion, Dave, have they gone to that seem fairly bizarre, only to kind of spite Trump? You know, earlier you brought up Bill Clinton and Barack Obama having basically the same view on borders as Trump does. Now they've moved to the left. Do you think in the end that actually backfires? I think it will. I think it's silly. I think the American people see that it's an obstructionist mindset and it's not realistic.
Yeah. The Green New Deal.
The Green New Deal.
So the Green New Deal, I think she said we would have zero carbon emissions in 40 years or some shit like that. And that's impossible. and their whole industry is centered around getting oil and gas, and those jobs wouldn't be replaced by windmills because nobody needs to be there to work on a windmill. And windmill factories and pretty much automated. Anyway, that's besides the point. It's just, you know, it's like a $40 trillion deal or something like that. It's just, it's patently ridiculous. It's patently ridiculous because to do it, you would have to have all your cars be electric cars.
Right.
And what are electric cars powered on? Fucking coal. So not only would you have to replace all the cars, you'd have to replace all of the coal and oil with windmills and solar. So you would need, I don't even know if you'd have enough space in the country to put enough solar panels to power all the cars in the country. It's literally impossible. But I don't think she gets that. I think it's well-intentioned, but yeah, not practical.
And then you have the Muslim woman saying, you know, impeach the motherfucker. I wasn't offended by the motherfucker. I mean, my mom was pretty much throwing around the MF bomb when I was about 7, 8 years old. That didn't bother me. But attempting to impeach the president for no good reason other than you fucking hate him, that was actually offensive to me. And that's where the Democratic, the flashpoints, that's where they're, you know, that's what they're having the public view is these kind of crazed, you know, ideas don't make much sense or these crazy emotional things. I think that's where the Democrats lose the plot. You know, it doesn't make sense. It's too radical. And actually radical, I look at as a positive thing. Oftentimes it's too fucking, it's Trump derangement syndrome. You know, a lot of it.
I don't know, man. Yeah, they hate Trump. Orange man bad, period. You know, like, they truly see him as like an evil Hitlerian figure. And
that's fairly insulting to Jewish people, wouldn't you say?
I'm sorry? Again?
Comparing Trump to Hitler is fairly insulting to Jewish people, wouldn't you say? Fairly anti-Semitic, in a sense.
Oh, I wouldn't know. Probably, yeah. It minimizes what Hitler did, I think. And it's lazy. It's lazy. You know, find a good reason to not like him. But they can't. There's nothing he's done that they can get so angry about as to just call him names. And it's really a backlash going back to the narrative, you know, and sort of the statist narrative and versus populism. And Trump is this real flashpoint of populism that showed that populism can succeed in our current political world. And that has to be battled back as hard as possible. And anybody who battles back against that is going to get all the funding in the world. And they're going to get all the best media attention in the world. So it's a smart political move in a way just to hate Trump if you're a Democrat, or really, well, maybe not a Republican because Trump has such a high approval rating among Republicans, but you can't go wrong if you just call Trump Hitler.
Right. He's fucking Hitler, man. Yeah, totally. Fuck that.
You're good, yeah.
It's fucking silly. You know, and the funny thing is they beat the shit out of, you know, the Bushes as well. And the thing is, I feel like all other American conservative presidents up to this point when the media kicked their ass just kind of took it, you know? But
yeah.
Trump is like, he's not only infuriating because he happened to run as a Republican, but he's infuriating because he punches back and he dishes it like harder than they can give it. It's really great. It's really great to watch. He's so combative, and I fucking love it, man.
He made Elizabeth Warren take a DNA test, you know, like he's trolling these people. It's hilarious. Yeah, to make them look stupid. Yeah, it's pretty fun to watch a lot of the time. They're like, yo, he got up and walked out of the meeting when Pelosi just said, no, under no circumstances are we funding the wall. Well, what's he supposed to do, you know, sit there and beg? Like a dog?
not Trumpy.
No.
No. Well, listen, Dave, I think this has been a hell of a conversation. Wait, first of all, do you want to, is there anything else? And I'll edit this all nice, dude. Is there anything else that like, because I kind of ran out of material a while back. I didn't do as much preparing as I would have liked, although I think this talk was great. But anything else you want to hit on, man, during this podcast?
Yeah, I think everybody should get off Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Twitter's great. Twitter's so fun, except they shadow ban you and they ban all the people. It's funny, all the people I love, like they ban. They ban Milo, Gavin McInnes, Alex Jones. I don't know why they don't ban Trump. You know, isn't he the kingpin?
They might.
Why? I mean, I guess that would be too much.
They might. I don't know. Get ready for it. But yeah, I don't know. Those are kind of like, I don't know, sitting in front of the TV all day, sitting in front of those things. Not that I don't love TV, but.
No, it is funny. When we were growing up, you always said like, hey, you know, maximum, what, 2 hours TV, whatever it was. They always told us, don't watch TV more than a couple hours. But
yeah.
Literally today, we all have TVs in our pockets and we're glued to our specifically crafted station just for us. And it's mind melding, you know. I mean, listening to podcasts all day, which I love, but still, you're replacing like your thoughts with other people's thoughts, and you walk around with the other people's voices in your head all day. It's quite literal mind control. It's crazy, dude. These phones they're wild. I remember when there weren't phones. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, I think it's like rewiring kids' brains, so they're not the same kind of humans that people throughout history have been. And, you know, I got those Apple EarPods, AirPods, you know. And I heard somebody, I don't know who it was, but they were talking about, you know, we're essentially merging with our technology.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
And absolutely. So I'm walking around with these earbuds, you know, just like, I don't know, for like an hour. I'm not even listening to anything. They're just in my freaking head. And it's weird. You know, so that, you know, when I can have this piece of technology literally attached to my head, not even know it for an hour, it's just weird, you know. Something I never would have thought would happen. But it
Dude,
is.
That's how I am. That's how I am at work. I don't have earbuds, but I just have like earbuds, regular ones with a wire attached to them. I just leave them in all day. People talk to me. They don't even know if anything's on. I literally leave them in all day.
Yeah.
I love to be able to work and listen to other people's thoughts. It's hard to create your own thoughts and be creative. And I feel like creativity could possibly be dying because of it. But, you know, I think when the telephone and the television came out, people said the same type of shit. Oh, the world's ending. What's everybody going to?
I unfortunately listened to NPR for 10 minutes the other day, and they had this shit story about, like, all these things you can do to be creative, and it was like, you know, twiddle your thumbs. Twiddling your thumbs is creative because you move one thumb around the other thumb, and then vice versa. I think creativity's taking a hit.
They literally said twiddling your thumbs was a way to be creative.
No, I was being creative and I made that up, but they were saying some pretty mundane shit was creative.
Oh, okay, okay. That's funny, dude. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I remember me and my buddy Eric when I was, you know, Eric, was like 19. And me and him were like, he was playing bass, I was playing guitar. We played every fucking day. Like, it was great in the living room. Then one day, I remember it clear as day, I rolled in the television set, plugged it in, stole the neighbor's cable, put it on. I literally remember taking the amps out of the room, and they never returned. You know, they never fucking returned. And I'm dead serious. We never jammed probably again, dude. It's so bad.
Hey, well, I mean, Hollywood has a monopoly on creativity now, so.
Hollywood fucking sucks, dude. Let's make another superhero movie, for Christ's sake.
Oh, God. Yeah. Man. I watched Avengers the other day. It was pretty good. But
I hear Aquaman's good.
Yeah, I heard that too. But, you know, I mean, there's like 30 minutes where I was totally tuned out, and I was like, oh, they're just fighting. But, yeah, there's – I don't know. I'm sure there's plenty of good movies out there, but, yeah, fuck. There's a lot of superhero movies. No thanks. Yeah, I mean, they have to end at some point. They're running out of superheroes.
Yeah.
They're running out of stories.
So. Intertwining universes, DC and Marvel. I was always a DC guy. I love JLA, and I love Superman, Batman, and shit.
That's a good idea. I mean, it's not a good idea. It's a horrible idea, but it'll probably happen
because
they're going to run out of superhero movies. And that's, I mean, all these movies we have now are like those kind of things. Who would, you know, when we were kids, who would win in a fight, Batman versus Superman? And they made a movie out of it, you know? They made Alien versus Predator or Freddy versus Jason. All this stupid shit that we thought up as kids that, you know, probably doesn't deserve a $100 million budget. So
I would go see Superman versus The Flash in a race because that was actually a comic book that my dad passed down to me. And I think they were dead tied. Like they were dead even. Like they raced around the world.
Okay. So The Flash is literally useless. And how do you – can he run across water?
Yeah, he could, but Superman swam as fast as he could run basically across water.
Superman, wait, if The Flash is fast enough to run across water, why isn't Superman fast enough to run across water?
I don't know, but I remember it was Superman swimming as Flash ran across the water. Yeah.
I guess he wasn't allowed to fly.
Right. I don't think he could fly. Yeah.
Okay. What was the prize?
I don't really know, but I know somebody put a pane of glass out and Flash hit it and, like, really fucked him up. Like, he couldn't see it. He ran right into it. There was a great shot of him, like, smashing the glass and the kind of rib cage was distended. I don't know. It was really neat. Those old comic books are really magical from the Silver Era. You know, the Silver Era in comic books is, I think, late 50s to basically mid-60s, you know.
Yeah.
Great stuff, yeah.
Well, it would be great if there was some new form of art like that that became popular, creativism. And I guess maybe that's podcasts and things like that.
Yeah, podcasts, what we're doing right now, baby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, podcast is an amazing medium, man. I love it. It's really cool. Anyway, Dave, this has been awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So is there any – but by the way, don't hang up. But is there any parting words? This is our censorship. We kind of got off topic a little bit. We'll get – I edit it all together. And it'll sound amazing. But any parting words, any the future of censorship, what's happening? Are we still scared? Are we still pissed off? I'm not pissed off right this second. but I don't like technological gerrymandering, man. It fucking sucks.
Yeah, I think on that, well, yeah, on that podcast you sent me, I think it was Jordan Peterson.
I love Jordan.
Who said, you know, it's really a negative thing to have these, to only listen to things you agree with. And that's what's happening is, you know, we focus on things we agree with, because when if you hear something you disagree with, maybe, you know, maybe you realize that it is correct and you were wrong. So if we never find out when we're wrong, that's bad, you know, because then we'll never think we're wrong, and we're always wrong. People are fucking always wrong. Or, you know, more than 50% of the time, usually. So we have to be able to learn from other people, that especially ones we don't agree with.
That's a really good point. Where do you think, I'm asking you, where should I start with that? Who can I go to? Young Turks, possibly?
Yeah.
What?
No. Who would you not agree with?
Ben Shapiro is kind of fairly liberal a lot of times. I mean, in a sense, like he's kind of, I kind of don't agree with him a lot, and I listen to him.
Yeah. I don't know. Jimmy Dore, I mentioned him before. You could listen to him. Let me think. I don't know. David Pakman. I don't really like him that much, but he's definitely somebody who's more well-reasoned on the left. And Maxine Waters has a podcast.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, okay. I would listen to Maxine Waters.
That would be great. Oh,
I'd
man.
Be laughing my fucking ass off the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. A call-in show. That'd be funny. Yeah, I'd like that. Just watch CNN, for fuck's sake, you know?
The Russian conspiracy channel? Yeah.
Well, yeah, Rachel Maddow, you know, apparently she believes what she's saying, which is scary. But it's a good, you know, it's a good way to at least see how other people are seeing things. So I think Rachel Maddow is the intellectual lodestar of the left.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, that's definitely some places to start, man. But listen, dude, you've been on the shit show with J-Bo. I appreciate it, and we'll have you back soon. All right, buddy?
Okay, later on.
Thanks, Dave. See you, man.
All right, bye.